You all heard.
Did you ever hear from the other members that have been such a meeting?
I think is this everybody or only one?
Not one.
This is the one that I'm going to see.
No, she has the answer in the table.
Oh, okay.
Nancy, that's you?
Yes.
And then Jerry.
Let's value labor here, we have a second to go. Not that it's bad, but just want to be part of
what other business? To see you.
My name's Jerry Luttrell. I've lived here in Kyle about 3 years. Before that, I worked for GTE, Southwestern Bell, Verizon, AT&T, a few companies like that. I've own a little business here in Kyle, and I'm just here to try to help the city, try to help the people grow the way they need to grow, and that sort of thing. That's the reason that I came, and that's the reason that I want to be a member of the committee, and hopefully I can bring some kind of benefit to it. I'm not going to say that I'm the smartest guy in the world, but I've been around the block a few years, so I've seen a lot of change in a lot of different places. So,
Mark Lament, lived in Kyle about 3 years now. A small business owner. Experience is kind of random. As I worked in the state legislature for a while, writing and drafting bills. Before that, I was in the Marine Corps, and so the rest is kind of history. So.
I mean, today, I work at the state Texas Workforce Commission, only 13 years. I've had experience writing bills. I was a little partner. I don't have, but what you can see now, I'm not doing that, but I did that for the Texas Department of Insurance. And my concern is the city debt.
My name is Rob Cox. And I moved to Kyle in 2001, and I actually grew up in New Orleans, so I know Kyle as the dairy. And when I moved here in 2001, I started getting an SUV, and we got it many years later. But my work-related, I work at the university. I work in recreational sports. I'm the membership and guest services coordinator. I deal with a lot of complaints on a lot of days. And I served on the charter review the last time we had it, and I've been on planning and zoning, transportation committee, and a few other committees in the city. So my main area of concern is I would like for us really to look at how the council boundaries are drawn with representation, with regards to representation. When we did the Senate 6, there was a lot of cleanup that we had to do. In the language and things that Barney recommended, you know, with regards to following state law, am I correct? And so some of the things that were not priorities, I mean, we had to go with certain things that were absolute priorities. So I think that's one area we need to look at. That's a huge one because it has many implications. So.
Kale Basie. Got a background in software development, project management, and finance. I've kind of done a little bit of everything the last few years, and currently transitioning to a new role. I'll be looking at a payroll processing company, family payroll processing company. So I'll be doing that. I've been on planning and zoning for the last year and a half or so, and I've lived here about 7.5 years in Kyle.
Well, I'm Barney, and I've been the city attorney here for approximately 15 plus years. My background is, I practiced law in Houston 5 years when I first graduated from UT School of Law. I don't know why, but I went into, became the city attorney in Temple, and I've been now almost 40 years doing city attorney or city manager work. I'm on the staff of Temple and Austin for a total of 16 years, and then we represent about 40 cities over my office does on a daily basis, plus a public retirement system and some groundwater districts and other miscellaneous districts. I've done a bunch of these charter amendments, new charters, et cetera, all across the state for small and large cities. My role in this is to help get the wording down to make sure that it does what you want it to do. and quite frankly, to raise issues and discuss with you if you're wanting to make a change that might be a tad different than what you think it might do, or that may impact another area of the charter, to make sure we reconcile those. But, and just tell you right off the top, a city what a city charter is, for those of you who have any doubts. I know everybody knows what it is, but a city charter in Texas is a state statute. It's adopted by the people directly under the authority of the Texas Constitution, just like the legislature adopts a statute directly under the authority of the Constitution. So it's equivalent to state statute. It governs unless it conflicts with a state statute. And the Supreme Court of Texas has said more than once that if the conflict is not direct, if it's implied, the implied conflict has to be clear and compelling before you don't get effect of that charter. Stated a little different in the case of Carson County, and the Supreme Court affirmed the case. It says the city charter is the city's local constitution. You've got lots of freedom. Each city's got a lot of freedom. There's certain things you cannot do. For example, you can't legally put referendums and so forth in to set gas and electric rates or telephone rates or water rates. For example, if the city council sets a water rate, you can't put it in and regulate that. You cannot do zoning you cannot appeal the zoning ordinance. You can have some big impact on them, believe me. But you can adopt zoning regulations, some by referendum, if you will, but you can't zone property or rezone property. So there's always something. And my role is simply to be here as a resource and I'm not going to guarantee you that when you all identify something and say we want this change, that you're going to, the first draft of that language is going to get hit exactly what you want, but to work with you before it says exactly what the committee wants you to say. Other than that, I'm a resource. And advisor. I'm not a citizen.
What time frame was this?
I don't know that the council set a time frame. There's not a legal time frame. You're starting the process, and running problems or issues, or it takes you a good while to make a decision, well then you can just keep on until you get a decision, the recommendation made. There's a November window for holding a charter amendment election, but we have to call that election at least 62 days before the date. Now I know everybody's got access to computers and statutes now, and you find one where you call a charter election on 30 days notice. Well, they amended the laws later, subsequently, because of Department of Justice pre-clearance issues, all that kind of stuff. And so we might get away with it, but there's no use in running the risk of a challenge. We need to call it at least 62 days before the date of the election. You make a recommendation to council. Council can accept or reject your recommendation. They can put everything you recommend on the call the charter election on everything you recommend, or take what they want and call the election on that, or they can add things to it. But there's no requirement that we make November. There's a May election the following year. I did some work for Pasadena a couple of years ago, and I could tell I knew right up front that part of the process is going to fail because they want to cram it through and hurry it through. They wanted to get it done by X date, and they gave everybody the impression they were just getting it done, cramming it through, pushing it hard, and that there were political conflicts. That's Tom Mayer. Actually, the mayor was trying to get it changed to a council manager but I agree to have some reservations about his motivation, and the way the process they follow, just almost assured him that people are going to be suspicious and not, they didn't tell that it was an error. Any more than you want to hear?
I got
so
exactly what we need.
We'll propose a set of changes to the council? All or none. You don't have to propose
one or none.
Yeah. What you think needs to be done.
And so at the end, I mean, presumably there'll be possibly multiple sections or areas of discussion. And so will we like a vote on each individual section, or is it all roll up into one thing and then we as a committee and say,
the committee, I don't control the committee, okay? You guys are going to make your own rules, but you got seven votes, and generally you vote, you as you go along, say, okay, whatever you're going to propose, the first one you identify is, if you get six votes or five votes, it goes in the package. And then you've got a redo, or, you know, most of the time, I think the last time we had, at the end, since people have now worked through a bunch of other issues, they had a chance to say, well, I'm not so sure about item number three or whatever. So when it goes to council, we'll have an argument. We'll do it in an argument proposed to the council, and the way you, and it'll set out the way you submit charter amendments to the people. We will have the wording of the charter as recommended in the proposition, yes or no. And then another one, the council can take them off and they can have to.
So what we said here can be overturned by the council?
Yes. You are a committee, an advisory committee, and the charter was specifically written initially that way because, quite frankly, the issue is because if you make a charter commission, there has to be 15 people on it, and the council has no choice but to call, if you submitted the, I know this is silly, but I was like something I did a long time ago. If you submitted a thing that, that you build a statue of Adolf Hitler in the town square, that your council would have to include that as if you were a commission, 15-member commission. You were an advisory committee under the charter. Obviously, the council is going to pay pretty close attention, not likely. Give them a chance, they will hold the public hearings on. You guys can or cannot, as you wish, hold a couple of public hearings on it before you make a recommendation. They will then hold a public hearing before they adopt the order.
And you'll be here with us at every meeting?
That's up to you all. Some people, whether or not, whether or not be there for some meetings because they won't, Can I interrupt your discussion? But that's the committee's choice.
Welcome in, what do we want?
I guess we need to find out if somebody wants to be the chair and vice chair. Do you want to be the chair?
I can take that.
Anybody else? Robin? No?
I'll be vice chair.
You probably ought to, you as an advisory committee, you are not bound by the open meetings requirements. However, what you're doing and recommending is going to be going to the voters eventually. So you want to, it's always a very strong recommendation to comply strictly with the open meetings requirements. It's just, and so you've got an agenda, and so she can get it down in the minutes, just the rough basics. Somebody make a motion, somebody make a second,
and the loan last year.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve the chair.
I'll second.
Okay, hang on a second. Rhonda, you made the motion?
No, Nancy did.
Oh, okay, Nancy did. Now, the motion to run, and then approve.
I second. Mark Clements.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
I'm a.
I guess the motion passes unanimously?
Yes.
Now you can take over.
Well, I make a motion to make Kale, the second.
I'll second that. Miller, okay.
Vice Chair. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Okay. Well, I assume that we all had ideas of what we wanted to see done with the committee and the things that we wanted to tackle. So just to get the ball rolling and throw out some stuff out there, specifically, are there specific things that each one of you all had in mind that you'd like to tackle? And I think maybe we can go from there, and after we get the stuff that we want as a group, if we all are in agreement with everything that everybody wants to do, then we can go in and go through the rest of the charter. Does that make sense? Or would you all like to just go at piece by piece? I mean, I'm thinking that everybody's got an idea of what they want and what they'd like to see done.
And I think some of the ideas may not even be part of the charter that might get lost in the shuffle and be at the very end. So we kind of wait for the first time. People throw out what they want, what they're interested in. Mm-hmm.
I think so. I mean, does everybody agree with that?
Works for me.
Okay, who would like to start the ball rolling? And let's just open up.
Some kind of get management policy.
Get
management policy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can look at it and discuss it. People that know more about finance can talk about that. It's a concern of I know the people on the east side of the freeway. I'm a precinct chair for one of the parties, and a lot of people, when I talk to them, that is the main concern that they have. The subject that we've incurred over the last, I guess, 8 or 9 years.
And we want to actually set that, or do we just want to put it as a requirement that there is one?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think there should be some kind of policy on. Well, I have to pick it out with the help of you guys, because I've not done this before. I think from Houston, I mean, they have, you know, Houston, and they have a control on Houston.
Okay.
Kind of piggyback on Nancy, I'd like to, as part of the debt management, is look at forming an advisory committee, citizen-driven, to manage salaries. I know that, like San Marcos, is each year they meet, they have a committee that meets, and they look at similar cities, geographical, economic similarities, and regulate the salaries for the city based on 10 down, 10 above, and then 10 as equal socioeconomic means. And I'd like to see something like that to help control debt and make sure that the staff is paid fairly and that it's managed.
Adding to that, you know, before we go too far, you know, I'd like to get a feel from council and see how they feel, because everything is going toward budget to independent businesses. State cities are going to budget-driven businesses as far as for salaries and stuff like that. And it's just a way, if your department can't told its way in the budget, where does that be your department as far as salaries? I don't know. I'm just saying this is what I've seen.
Right.
It has happened in most of the other businesses, and this happens in some parts of the state. So I don't know how the council feels, and we're going to really work on that, and then they're going to shoot us down.
Right.
I don't know. I would call it a waste of time, but I'm just saying we need to have a feel for what they think on a lot of these things. How do we accomplish that? I don't know.
I've been reading the charter, and you know, I don't have any huge concerns or anything. I've come in here, and I want to hear what other people's concerns are and take that in and make a recommendation. I certainly think that that things of concern. Not sure I'm in favor of us trying to come up with an actual policy as much as we require that it be. That happens with us as a group, or probably, they might need more specific, backgrounds and skills and such to do something like that. And that would be broad in scope of, I think, this group here, in my opinion, of the matter. But
we can look at the policies of other cities of this size and see if they have one. Like, I know San Marcos is a lot bigger, but we can look at the debt. I'm sure they have debt management policies in other cities.
Yeah. The thing to remember is like Biden, you've got a fairly thorough in-depth charter compared to some. You've got the Georgetown, for example, and their charter is probably that much. It's very wide open, drive a truck through it. And since you get a chance to write your own local statute, you ought to take advantage of it. It's a town. You don't normally put policy in the charter, but it has nothing. It's just a worry, is all. We can come up with something for you all to look at. I'm not going to guarantee you we'll come up with something that you look at favorably, but at least you can start, if you want to consider, that requires a policy and a program. For example, some cities, and I'll shut up, some cities have programs where they got to go into a 3 to 5 year window, of planning debt management, and it's, policy, and it's limited, and you've got the only time you vary from it is case of emergency, and you will. I have a little town of 1,000 that I represent a few years ago in East Texas that the mile and a half of their main sewer truck line through downtown collapsed. Well, they weren't budgeted for that. But you can mandate in, if that's what you want to do, debt management, et cetera. You've got to have a policy, and you just generally have to follow it. A lot of the big cities do.
They
don't put it in their charters, they just
let do it.
You can make them do it.
I guess counter to that would be, I know you can't not spend. You have to spend to progress. But I always wonder about if you put a limitation on, well, I guess it would just be a policy. Never mind. I mean, I just worry about it. You put a policy up and they're limited, and maybe this great big thing comes along, like, I don't know, GM's going to move in when it has that, but Exxon or somebody's going to move in, and we need to make sure that we're able to afford whatever we're going to do to get businesses in our area.
You join, I've got a master's degree in public finance, and I've been a bond lawyer before. But you have to be somewhat careful, and you guys need to collectively apply your thoughts when we get there to start putting something together. I started off at the city of Temple, and Temple fairly conservative. I took over when they had a tax rate of 60 cents and left, and we were growing rapidly and very rapidly at the time, the third fastest growing SMSA in the nation. And when I left, we had a tax rate of 45 cents. There was a lot of things we weren't doing that the city would have been, the main point of raising that is that 60 cents we were managed so conservatively that we should have had a AAA rating. We couldn't get more than an A rating because we have that limit put in our charter. In case something had happened, you have that. So you consider a number of things. You put a policy in place, require a policy in place, and accept it, you know. And some, I don't recall, you know, some cities mandate that they, in all respects, attempt to have a reserve fund established.
No, I was just talking about the, looking at cities and things like that, kind of piggybacking on that, maybe as a way to help with debt management.
Okay. Anything else on the agenda that someone wants to, that would like to see happen?
I have a question. How often is this advisory committee required to meet?
This committee is not required to meet any specific schedule. The council, as I recall, under your charter and this charter, some charter, some matches in there, required every 5 years to appoint a review committee.
Okay. So when we set up today, we'll follow me, please, or what we set up.
It's going to be your schedule, and then you can amend it later if you will.
One of the things I'd like to see, I'll just throw this out there. I know we have a 5-2 voting policy, and I'd like to see if we could get that changed back to 4-3, where most cities, I think, run on a 4-3 voting schedule as opposed to a 5-2. You need 5 votes to pass something? You need a majority?
The city manager's employment. To terminate the city manager, you'll need 5 votes.
Okay. Well, can we change that?
That would be my proposal, sir.
Okay. I'd like to change that. I'd like to see
what we can do. It'd be a good opportunity with the change coming about now, the hiring of a new manager.
Generally, if a city manager is smart, unless he or she has put in a lot of jobs and work out, they're smart enough not to pay the job unless they've got a really strong majority to take a job. You will find people out there that say, if they get the offer, they'll take it, period, because you all, as I recall, and I'm sorry, I've got to have to review these charters to look at them. But I know your manager, yours takes 5 votes to terminate a city manager against his or her will. I don't know that it requires anybody to know off that. I'm looking at it real quick. Does it take 5 votes to hire?
I thought it was the same, but maybe not.
It depends on your personal, everybody's personal views. That, some people don't want it. You bounce it back and forth and too easy to, run somebody off and have change just because something unpopular has happened. But you really want also, in the front of them, you really want more than just a simple majority of how you know what your charter says.
Yeah, I would be concerned about lowering. I mean, just from a hiring standpoint, I mean, I think that, we're a growing city. It's important that we get the best candidates we can get. And I'm really concerned that if you lower that rule, and like he said, you risk chasing off the best candidates because they want a job that's more secure and stable. They don't want to have the fear of, hey, next year something could change.
But the bottom of that is the best candidate, after he's in office.
Well, that's always the case. I mean, that's nothing that changes with that. But I mean,
if an individual knows what he's doing, and he's qualified for the position. I mean, he's not going to, I mean, he may look at it, but I mean, if I was a city manager and I had the qualifications, I mean, I could care less. I want a job, and I'm going to perform, and as long as I perform, I shouldn't have to worry about someone voting me out.
So here's, I mean, there's a lot of other factors, but I mean, if you were getting two offers, the exact same offer, obviously that's theoretical, the one that has more votes to kick you, you know, to get you removed, is going to be the one you take, right? You're not going to take, you know, all 16 equal, you're not going to take the job that has fewer votes to get you removed. And so, you know, I'd say if we're trying to chase the best talent, and, you know, obviously we want a mechanism to remove people that are not effective, right?
Well, then that needs to be looked at. In other words, if we want to keep it at 5-2, fine, but there needs to be something in place that if the person is not performing to our expectations or what we set up, then that 5-2 is out the window and we can get rid of them.
But if they're not performing, you can expect that they would be voting, and that getting a 5-2 vote wouldn't be a problem.
I don't know. It's hard to come up with 5 people at one time to get...
The percentage. Let me throw something in for you guys. Essentially, is my I've participated in firing more friends than I'm sophisticated. I participated in this last process here. I thought unfortunately, become friends working here. If you don't, you're not doing a job at the city. And I thought times I have to drop below professional but the issue is what you're going to be faced with. This day and time, you're not going to get a manager that's able to do what this city is going to need. You're going to diverse, you know, your financial management, personnel management, growth management, and the growth management here is going to be a really good thing for you all. A lot of this day and time, I assisted the Texas City Manager Association a few years ago when they first adopted their recommendation that city managers have a contract like school superintendents do, except they didn't go near as far. Schools get 5-year contracts, you know. Normally you range from 6 months termination up to, you know, some other kind of term. What you have here is they didn't have 5 votes that would say, terminate the manager, but the situation was most of those contracts have a provision in them that the manager can resign and collect on their contract if a majority. So you're probably going to end up pretty close to the same. The way you might want to attack that, and not this is not a if you want to attack that, is say you can't have a contract that provides more than X number of months severance or something. But this being time to get a decent city manager, I finished last week, last Thursday night, we negotiated a contract for Lee Anderson. This being time for a city bustling and growing like you are, the odds were real high compared to when I first started the business. We didn't have contracts. You're going to have to put a contract on the table to get the manager you want. And so, I don't have a problem with your, I personally don't, having been in business, don't see an issue with the 5-2 or 4-3 or whatever it is. It may not have changed what just happened here. Yeah, firing, if they put it this way, one more that was willing to see him go, like to see him go, but wasn't willing to vote to fire him. It would have made any difference because if they had voted to fire him, they'd just make his contract and he'd have been gone. They had to say, okay, if you'll resign, you'll pay your contract. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So his contract is, if he got fired, he was going to get paid anyway. I mean, is that the way contracts are? If someone is dissatisfied with employment, if someone's performance, it seems like there should be a clause in the contract that says, if we're not satisfied, we can fire you, and that's that.
What's the reason to have a contract?
Well, I mean, you paid to get the money. Why would you?
I mean, he does something that they don't. I mean, if it wasn't a performance issue, I mean, if there was some sort of gross moral thing, we wouldn't be obligated to pay those.
No, yes, the contract's a standard one. It's the Texas City Manager Association.
So how long is the contract?
But I mean,
you've got two sides to this contract. You've got the city final side, and you've got the city manager side. He wants the best for him.
Sure.
We want the best for us. We want to make sure that we're covered so that when, you know, if the performance is not where it should be, then we're not going to have to go ahead and wait to make sure that we have 5 votes to get him out. There should be something done in the contract that states that the performance is not there, you are subject to termination.
But Ron, I think what he's saying is, Here's the point that he's saying that nobody's listening to what he's saying. Okay, and I know a little bit about contracts and how you're hired and fired today. In today's world, most people that are hired off the street, I'll say, don't have a contract. They write a deal that says we can fire you without due cause, basically. And we sign the paper.
That's
what it says. Basically, that's what everybody says, except for when it comes to somebody that has to have a contract to get a job. Okay? And just like he said, 90% of the cities in the state of Texas, the only way that you're going to hire a city manager, a chief of police, a fire chief, or anybody else, is you're going to have to give them a contract for a certain amount of time, or they're not going to come here and work. That's the bottom line.
One of the things, let me explain just a little bit, and it's just information.
No,
what I was saying is, if you want to attack that issue, I'm not recommending it, but if you want to attack that issue, you might say no contracts. But I'm just telling you that for a city, if you were 1,500 population, 3,000 population, wouldn't be nearly as important. But where you're going and are now and where you're going in the future, if you can terminate them without honoring the contract, just because the council doesn't think you're doing a good job, well, the council can think that at any time about anything, whether it's real or honest or straight up, and so why have a contract?
But the council is under that frame of mind through the people that put the council in office. It's not the council. It's the council's. They're getting their feedback from the people. People are dissatisfied. They're saying, hey, we're not happy with this.
But you know, a lot of times it's not the manager's fault. I don't think anybody's questioning the contract.
You're questioning majority vote.
Sure.
You know, why do you have to exceed the majority? Why can't it stay as the majority? I was in school for 12 years. I went through 4 superintendents. I don't know about contracts.
Sure.
And I don't know if they can leave whatever they want. Nothing you can do about it. And as a board member, there's nothing you can do about it. It's always the contract and the law is always on their side. Same thing with the city manager. You have to pay his contract. Okay, so
you can put things to limit that cost and problem.
You limit the contract.
You put in the contract, for example.
But he won't come.
No, you can. City this size, for example, you can put in the contract that I'll put the charter. This is just an example. You can move up and down or all around it if you want to do something. City manager or any employee that's granted the contract on the contract with the city, severance shall be no more than 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. In schools, if you normally, because they've got a special deal, they hire a superintendent, they get a 5-year contract. If you fire them after 6 months, you pay them 1.5 years. There's all kinds of things you can do if you want to go there, and if you want to cut it down to simple majority to term hire and fire, that's the way many cities
charters are. I remember there were some issues when the first charter commission was done, and there's some folks that don't...
I think that's where you're going, majority.
To me, I think we could go 4-3, are we going to get the crew with the crop? Well, I don't know if we're going to get the
4-3 won't have any impact on that.
No, it won't.
No. The thing that your people originally did, farmed up the original charter, I don't remember what it was. There's been a couple of things happening, and they didn't want to, the majority of them, like 15 by the group, thought that, right, we want to make it where they got to be a really, overriding reason. They got to have a real reason to say, get out here, you just can't have an election and two or three people, new people get elected, and it's because of A, B, or C. What you're talking about, going to 4-3, doing that change, as long as they can offer the city manager a competitive contract with other cities of similar size and perform what issues, you won't have that one interfere with your recruitment you want.
So the 4-3 is a viable option then.
Sure, that's what you want to do.
I mean, it's just numbers. I mean, it's common. You take 5 votes to get rid of it, as opposed to 4. 4 is a lot. It's less than 5. But you can get the 4. You can put in the stipulations in the contract, stating that severance pay is for the X amount, severance pay is this for this amount of time, and if we've got 4 votes that agree with that, then it's taken care of. It's done. My thoughts are that I think that it's hard to get 5 people at the same time to vote on the same issue, or to vote the same way on an issue. And I think these are my thoughts. Like I said, we're the committee, so we're going to decide on it. But my thoughts are, I think we go 4-3. I'd like to see that. And if we're in agreement, we do it. If we're not, that's okay. I do like the fact that we can add some things to the contract to where we're not, bound to pay a whole bunch of money that we don't really need to be paying. But, when a contract is a contract, you have to do what you got to do. So.
That's not going to, I think, the important, for the city as a whole, the important thing is you're going to be able to go get who you want and who, whatever that point in time is, the skills you need in the city, you're going to be able to make a deal with them. And it varies. Sagan, a few years ago, contacted me, and they had this is unusual. City manager normally comes in, he or she better get their contract up front, because there's, but they came, they said they had a couple of things they wanted to be accomplished in the future, and so with an existing manager been there 4 or 5 years, they gave them a 3-year contract. We need you to stay for a year.
See, the other thing also is that
this is new
territory for us, and the fact that we haven't dealt with trying to deal with the city manager for 15 years. And a lot has changed in that aspect because of where we were and where we are today. I mean, city managers, if they're doing a good job, they're reappointed or they're given an extension on the contract. If they're not doing a good job, they should be asked to leave and we'll get somebody else.
I appreciate it for the ball for over 40 years in the department. When you go to West Texas Department, you're told by the school board as a coach, don't buy a house.
Yeah,
live in a mobile home for 2 months.
Yeah, all that. I've been in this business just like 40 years. It's the contract that's going to make the difference. The fact that, I'll give you an example. Your contract you have here, and most all of them do, say, but if a majority, your 4 votes, suggest you leave, you can leave, and they have to honor your contract. So the issue, I think, ultimately here was about an involuntary resignation, maybe, but changing it to 4 votes is not going to adversely impact your recruitment ability.
Right. Okay, I agree with that. that. I think it'll just even the playing field.
It might impact the volatility. You may change managers a little more often than otherwise.
But that in one aspect, again, and I'm looking at the negative. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to look at the bad side. If he's not a good city manager, then we need to be able to get rid of him.
But if he's not good, you would think you could get five people to say this guy's not doing the right job. I mean, obviously people need to be able to get removed if they're not doing the job effectively. But I mean, you know, if you can't get five people to say that this person is not doing their job effectively, then I'm not sure. You know, I mean, that seems to me that you risk turnover, and we as a growing city need to be careful on that because we can't afford to be turning over city managers regularly because, one, you got to pay them all the money, and two, we have growth plans and we can't be having people coming in and, obviously some money change is good, but I don't disagree with that. And, but, if you're not effectively managing it, that's a big risk there. And so
I agree with you. If we would be having this conversation, if we've gone to three city managers, what we have. This is our first shot. Well, I know, this may be the next one we get may be excellent for the next 20 years. I don't know. And you don't know. We don't have a crystal ball. But we haven't been in the situation of a turnover of city managers. We turned over one city manager, and that's it. And so,
but our challenges are just starting at the city. And so if we think that the past represents the same challenges in the future. Don't get me wrong, we've had plenty of challenges in the past, but we got more coming and bigger ones coming, and those challenges are going to breed all kinds of concerns and issues. And so the more of those you have, the more you get this volatility going, and that's where you run the risk. And so that's where my concern is. We've got a lot of stuff coming down the road that's important and big stuff, and we need some consistency as a city, and we certainly need to be able to remove people that aren't doing the job effectively, but I think that we need to,
Mr.
Chairman?
Since we're not experienced in dealing with different city managers, like I said again, this is the first one we're going to deal with. I mean, we're going to tie in to make it more difficult. I mean, if he's good, that's great. Fine. I'm glad we got that in place, and it's going to be hard to get rid of it, but if he's not good, if he happens not to be good, if he happens to pull the wool over our eyes of the committee that listens to him and hires him, we're stuck with him until we get five votes.
Mr. Chairman, can we address this at a more appropriate time when we're planning on taking action on it?
Okay. So that's the one I have one question. I know school superintendents used to be 7 years black high schools. What's the city manager? What's the expectancy of a city manager in 5 years?
There's some city managers like to go and be part of the community and stay there forever. There's others out there that want to advance up as high as they can go, and that's a mistake, three to five years. So and then what they do is while they're still in good standing, if you're not good, taking care of them and they're still in good standing, they use that as a stepping stone to interview and find a better job. And the old pros, that's what they used to do. Now, because there is, I volunteered pro bono and worked for the city manager of LIBO down in San Antonio about 10 years ago. What was amazing is picture on the paper, the mayor and two council members, they fired the city manager, and the quote on the picture, yes, we fired him for doing X, and yes, he was directed to do X by unanimous vote of the council, but it shouldn't have been. You can get fired if you're a city manager for any or no reason, and cities can, if you get a good one, if you convince them to stay, like Sabine did, Leander just extended the city manager's contract for a year out there, although he wanted to retire, they wanted to keep him. He bargained with him on the contract. A city manager that's worth a boot, it's not going to stay long, of course, they've got seven votes on the city council and four of them won't be gone. As important as this town is to me, most of them I got emotionally invested in it. If four of them told me they wanted to be gone, they don't have to put it on the agenda. City manager's not giving some warning and let them go find another job, but they're not going to stick around to pull the firm votes or have a firm anyhow. So I don't see that as. That was the original thought process was the folks on the committee thought it protected the town and some from volatility. That was their thought process.
Is there any other item that someone has a burning sensation that they want to have done or looked at?
I'm looking through here to find. Does it say in here exactly how the division of the district happened with council?
Well, you generally don't want to put that in here, because you've got to meet federal and state law, and when you find out, you can say how many single member districts you want to have. You've got a mixed plan, but for example, we did zero districts, and, first time, first shot. But you have to, when the districts that issue under state law, the only requirement is the population of the largest district and the population of the smallest district can't vary by more than 10%. Other than that, the city council is in the community, the whole public hearing. If you participate in the line, we'll have a line over here, a little bit, or over there a little bit. As long as you balance the state law, balance the population, there's not a big point. You can draw
them
the way you want to, and that's
going to
be coming up here in the city next year.
When you divide the single member district, do you have to do it by a grouping too?
By what?
By race?
Well, once you try to
do it, like a school.
Yeah, I've done probably 50 cities and counties in the district, and some of this really isn't. If you can make a majority, you do so. And then, depending on how much you can do, you have public hearings, you get public input. And some communities, for example, if a minority group, if you get 65% minority, they want 65%, so they want the same thing. And others, they say, no, we'd rather have 55% put those others over in another district or something.
Well,
so you actually do pay attention to that.
Yeah, but are you obligated like you would be by the feds as far as
the feds? We
have to comply with
those feds. What we do on the district, when you call the district to it, you will have to redistrict from this now. We're going to be drunk.
I was going to say, you want compliance.
Yeah, you are.
The largest to the smallest,
not a
single member?
But you only redistrict every other census. You don't. So that you adjust it back.
Okay.
And you try when you annex, for example, if you have three districts like you do, and you annex area, you try to have some of it to this district and some of it to another district balance out.
I'm alluding to at large.
Right.
When you go to districts, you can go to at large.
Right. You've got at large seats and single member district seats, and we do have to simple compliance, state law, more issues involved. You don't want to reduce the minority impact in a district, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's where you're getting the federal set up, and then you have to go to the district.
Anybody else?
The other one I'd like for us to look at that you talked about the last time you made for planning and zoning. One of the things that it's a little counterintuitive, I guess, might be I'm a best word, but for example, you can only serve 5 years, but all the appointments are 2-year terms. So, yeah. So it doesn't make any sense.
So, we can only serve 5 years. They want it.
They're 2-year terms. I mean, not that, so then, I mean.
Should be 6.
Well, and I think the way it's written in here is that, for example, I'm up in September. If the council doesn't replace me, I serve until replaced.
Or if somebody was replaced, if you were a replacement for somebody during a particular term, and it was year in that term, then you would have two terms plus a partial term you serve, maybe the rationale for it. I think they're effectively saying it's two terms.
I don't know how you all feel about that. Just to give you guys an example of what's getting ready to happen with our current planning and zoning is, we have two individuals who will be consistent, but not for long. And that'll be one of you want me to use names or whatever, but there's two, Mike and Kale, today. Shane and I will be off because we can't serve a second term if we're going to be exceeding 5 years. And then you have three new. You have two new. And actually, unless John gets reelected, he's off. So you just essentially flipped your whole planning and zoning. I mean, you've lost any what we've been working on, any help that members provide to other members who don't know. I don't know. It's just something that if you guys would like to look at that. I think that in planning and zoning, obviously that's an advising board, that is a recommending board council, but they see a lot of, all the development and, those kinds of things and make the recommendation, typically hold first public hearings for many things as well. So it's just something maybe you ought to look at.
Okay. Anybody else have any other burning issues they would like to bring up?
Can I make a suggestion? And I apologize because I did not get a chance to look through this in its entirety.
Okay.
I would really like to look at it, and then hopefully maybe at our next meeting we can come back and maybe anybody might have some.
I was going to do that. What I was basically. I'm trying to see if I can hear from everybody. If everybody has something specific they want to talk about or want to deal with. And then I think we would probably go ahead and adjourn. But in other words, the issues that we brought up, let's key in on those issues within the charter. Make notes on them, read about them, try to go ahead and learn about them specifically. Then we can talk about them with more knowledge. And then after that, go ahead and go into other things. Or if while you all are going through the charter, you see something that strikes your eye that you want to go ahead and discuss, we can do that.
Can we make notes and highlight them?
Okay. I was going to say, because I already have. So do you have anything specific
you want to talk about? I guess we're going to talk about meeting schedules and try to some administrative stuff as far as, we're going to keep meeting on Mondays, which is kind of
I was thinking about that too. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Just kind of the agenda.
How about you?
No, sir.
Okay.
I don't
know. How about you? Okay. Okay. What does everybody feel like? Does everybody like Mondays?
Mondays generally don't really work well for me.
Okay.
So,
I think Mondays are bad for you.
I got the email and I just kind of, I can do it this Monday. That was the only reason I checked off Monday. Monday's not my either. But so, what? Anybody have any suggestions on what day they'd like to meet?
Thursday.
How does Thursday sound, everybody?
I don't have a problem with Thursdays except every Thursday of the month. I'm on the executive board.
Okay.
And we meet.
What time is that meeting at?
It's at 5. It usually went through by 6:30.
One thing, I frequently, so those meetings, you won't meet here.
Yes.
On Thursdays, there's one set of Thursdays I can be here. I could normally be here on the second and fourth Thursday of the month, not on the first and third.
Well, okay. You say you're through by
his is on the third.
Yeah, that one Thursday. But I'm trying to think is okay. Do you have a problem with us? Do you have that long schedule that, you know, come over here? Okay. I think that's good with you because the Thursday that you can't be here, we can sit back and just, you know, get stuff together and say, okay, when he comes up next Thursday, we hit him with all the legal stuff.
Yes, you guys, I'm here to only to help you get what you want done. And so one of the things that you can easily do, you guys meet and focus on what you want to concentrate on,
right.
And then meet with me. I can then bring you something, you can meet again and work on some other stuff, and I can bring back the next time, and I can bring back.
That way at least we can... We can get the ideas going, and then he can shoot them down the next time as opposed to shoot them down one after the other. What can happen?
I don't want to get you guys, it's easy, because I don't want to get you guys in the sense of where some things you may not want to accomplish directly, or not. It's good out there. I've got cities that have adopted charters that I thought they were shooting themselves in the foot. They can amend it every 2 years, so if the community decides they want to change it again, they can. I don't want to be in a position, as long as I can give you whatever benefit I can of influencing what you do, unless it just conflicts with state law.
That's fine. That's good. How does it sound? We set this thing up for Thursdays, 6:30.
I don't think we need to meet every Thursday.
One more time?
I don't think we need to meet every Thursday. Maybe every other Thursday?
What I was going to say was we can, in other words, we'll meet next Thursday. We'll see how things go. If we think that we're doing pretty good, you know, we're moving along pretty fairly good or rapidly enough, then maybe we don't need to meet the next Thursday. I'm thinking, you know, it just depends on how well we do this thing. If we sit back and put our thumbs for 2 hours on one subject, well, you know, we're going to probably need to meet a little more often than every other or every third Thursday. But I'm just, for right now, so we kind of get an idea of how we're going to go with this stuff, maybe we set it up for Thursdays, and on that Thursday, when we're done that night, we can sit back and say, okay, we don't need to meet next Thursday because we've got enough accomplished this meeting. How does that sound?
The other thing, Ron, I'll have to check the availability of this room.
Oh, the room, okay.
So we'll be getting a meeting before Thursday. And some guys who work in here.
Okay, let me throw this back. So you think we can do this in two thirds of the month?
I do. I mean, do you have a burning desire to make sure that this goes to November election? I think that's a bigger question because.
Okay, well let's put that on the floor. What do you? Are we looking at trying to get this done for the November election?
I think as long as it takes, make sure that the charter is a good charter that serves the people well.
Okay.
You know, I don't think we should feel any obligation by a time commitment. If it happens by November, it does. But
well, it'd be September.
Number.
Yeah, we'd have to be done because they have to go to council, they have to have public hearings, so you're probably looking at, 90 days?
You need to, realistically, unless you've got an awful nice council, give them at least 30 days. And then we've got to call the election and do the DOJ pre-clearance application has to be done at least 60 days before we come in.
Let me ask this question before we get off of what Thursdays we want to meet, because I know that the court meets here on a Thursday night. What Thursdays do they have court?
I think it's the second and fourth Thursday of the month, but I have to check my
calendar. I think you're right.
So you have 6 months to do your job based on the charter.
Is two council members here, do they have any opinion as to the timelines, the investigation spot or anything? Did y'all have any expectation?
Something that hasn't been discussed is the November election would be good just from the standpoint of turnout. The governor election would be what that's going to have, the turnout would be a lot better and we have more safety citizens. But obviously we also want to do it right. So at least that's.
Well, what is this? What month is this? June?
June. First basically week of June.
So we got 3 months to get it done.
Two.
Really?
Two. Really two. Mm-hmm.
2 months to get it done. I know that we did a lot of roundabout talking tonight, but I think that once we start going through it page by page, it's going to go a whole lot faster than what you think it's going to go. Because there's not a whole lot of language in here that we've talked about tonight that we're going to change anyway. So I don't think that the expectation that the council has of November is going to be a problem myself. Because what do we got? 50 pages?
40.
40 pages? Ron, you know,
I'm open to whatever you all want. If you want to push this thing for November, push it for November. Thursday doesn't have to be today. I just threw that out because Monday and Tuesday was out.
I'm not going to say that we have to get it done by then, but I think that it's absolutely possible to be through by then.
Well, I mean, the point that he made, which is a very good point, I mean, it's going to be a good election. We've got a lot of major candidates out there, so we're going to get a turnout, and it's probably the best time to go in ahead and get a good majority of the people what they want.
So she says second and fourth, and you said you can't be here on first and third.
It's the second and fourth that I can be here if it's Thursdays.
Okay.
So Thursday we don't have to. We do Wednesday or we can do Friday.
I represent a lot of cities, and I'm a Baptist, so I confess. Normally you can't do it on Wednesday because we're Baptist, but nobody goes for anything anyway. If you got Wednesdays open. That's normally not, very few cities have any meetings or use up any meeting rooms up, but that's your community issue, not mine.
Well, I'm questioning.
I have a question. Where is the month of possible meetings? Well, and what, I guess the question is, recording and all that stuff, I mean, do we need someone going out there from Depot? Do we need the library? I mean, can we meet upstairs?
Well, the meeting room upstairs is usually available. Like in the evening. We didn't know how many people were going to show up.
That's true. That's the part issue of a bunch. That table's about half the thing. That room's about a third.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, are these meetings going to be open meetings?
Yes.
Or do you want to continue anybody who wants to come in and sit in?
They do not, like I said before you start off, these meetings do not have to be open meetings under state law. However, having done this a whole bunch of times over the years, you don't want to get the people to think that you're doing things behind closed doors.
Okay.
All right. It's impact the end results, right?
So the room upstairs is available in a small room.
I think we can sit 10 in there.
Well, I mean, can other people stand?
Well, yeah, we could probably bring the chairs in there.
Right. I mean, used to have them this time when I was cool.
That's just, I know. Well, I mean, that was the other question. How does Wednesday sound here?
Every Wednesday,
I mean, you just brought up that you're available, and so how does everybody feel about Wednesdays?
Church? I mean, I'm just asking. I'm going to do church.
Wednesday okay with you?
Well, Wednesday okay with you? It goes back to the same thing, the perception is that some people can't come because you're having a Wednesday confession.
But as far as the committee is concerned, was it okay with you?
Any day works for me.
Okay, we got you with Wednesday. Wednesday okay with you? Okay, Wednesday okay with you? All right, we got the majority. We got everybody on the committee Wednesday.
Check Wednesday.
Just go ahead and schedule it on Wednesdays and that's the other thing. We all agree with that we want to try to get this thing done for the November election. And we want to get it done right, so that just means that if we want to get it done for the November election, we just have to work a little harder. Everyone agree with that? Okay.
We'll
switch for the November election. We're going to set up for Wednesdays. If it takes, you know, every Wednesday, it takes every Wednesday. If it doesn't take every Wednesday, it doesn't take every Wednesday. We'll start it out every Wednesday. We'll go from there.
All right, I'll just look at that for every Wednesday.
And when do you have to post it?
The Friday.
The fourth.
Let's see. That's probably 72 hours is a full hour.
Okay.
Okay. And, but the issue is that we can post things fairly generally for this kind of deal. We'll get down, for example, from you, ladies and gentlemen, suggested at least. When y'all get down to the point where you said, okay, we've got three or four, five big things drafted up that we want to consider, then we'll post those individually, you know, post them. But generally, we can get back much of the time with a general posting.
Would there be a discussion of the charter from the population?
You're available on the news.
Now, just let me know when you want me here.
Okay.
I can't make it next Wednesday. I haven't been at work.
Okay.
So figure one of them needs something. I can send you any notes, information.
Okay.
You can say Wednesday, not on my... Tomorrow.
Next Wednesday. We're done this week.
Yeah, the 16th.
We're gonna start hit it hard next Wednesday. So next Wednesday you can't be there. No. Okay. I'll give you my email address. You can email me whatever you want to be brought up.
Okay.
And we'll bring it up on that meeting. Is that okay with everybody? That she's not here that Wednesday? Okay. And
it's okay that nobody's dead. That she's not here, Ron. I just want her to be okay that she's not here. That's the only thing that I'm... If you don't want us to have a meeting until you're available, then...
I'm fine with it. I mean, this event's been planned for 8 months.
All I'm saying is that we're, next week, if you want us to, we can meet on some other day besides Wednesday. Because...
I agree.
We all need to be in this together. So
I agree.
So if we need to meet some other day next week instead of Wednesday, then just say so, and that way we can have a meeting on Thursday next week, and then after that we'll go to Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
You with me, Ron?
I'm with you.
All right.
Let's see if we can bring this out. All right. Does anybody have a problem for next week? Meeting on Thursday. Can everybody be here on Thursday? All the way around?
That's up to you.
I cannot be here.
But that's fine. That's okay. You'll miss the first one. You'll be okay. Yeah. So, we're going to meet here. We'll meet upstairs.
Well, if this is available, I'll book this one.
Next Thursday. After that, we will meet on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, unless I let you, we let you know we're not going to meet that Wednesday, and I'll let you know beforehand. At 6:30. 6:30, okay?
Yes.
Okay. You want to close the meeting?
Move to adjourn.
Second side.
All in favor?
Aye. Now, adjourn. We're a lot better off than we were at the last charter review committee. I got all of y'all's email address. I will email all of you one giving you my phone number and email address so that I'm having this meeting.
Okay. Let me give you all mine real quick if you want it. And that way, if you have any questions or anything, is it? Does everybody have this?
Nobody.
It's Ron, VARR 565 at AOL.com.
Amelia sent it to everybody except for Jerry and Warren.
I'm sorry.
I got the email the last time,
but that's okay.
I've got them back. I don't know why.
The first time it went.
You don't have
the
email.
Well, we'll just call you. Can
y'all take a sheet of paper and write down your email again, and that we'll verify.
Okay.
You have mine at ronday.com.
Yeah.
Well, I think we did pretty good. And we'll get it done.